going to pray. Lord Jesus, I just thank you so much, God, that you are the God of everything. And it doesn't matter what situation we're in. It doesn't matter how we came today. It doesn't matter whether we just stumbled upon this service on Facebook. We just pray right now, God, that you would have a word in season for every single person, that you would plow our hearts, God, and that you would plant something incredible in there. I thank you, God, that you are a God of now. You are a God of this moment. You are a God that is just never ending, that knows exactly what we're thinking, God. I am just so excited, God, to welcome you here today, God. And I just pray, Lord Jesus, that you would drop into our spirits exactly what you've been saying to us, and maybe we haven't heard, and maybe we haven't been able to see, and maybe we haven't listened, God. I just pray that you would open all of those ways, God, and that we would all of a sudden have a now moment with you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Sit down. Welcome. Welcome online. There's lots of people online today. And if you just want to welcome someone in the chat, find someone's name that's online and welcome them personally so they feel welcome. Thank you, team, very much. You guys are awesome. And of course, there is no kids' church, but kids, don't be afraid to make a noise today. It's okay. I know that I'm not that exciting, so you probably get bored because I'm kind of adult talking. So that's okay. It's all right. Noise doesn't scare me. And I'm just really excited this morning to... I feel like there's just a now moment. And I'm already getting emotional, far out. But first of all, I just want to speak to Janelle. This is why I'm getting emotional. I just really felt like when you gave your communion this morning that there is something that God has placed upon you. There is a fire that he has placed inside your soul. You are a voice for that generation, for your generation. You are something. There is something within you that God is just growing up and bringing to life. And I just want to encourage you in that, and I just want to acknowledge that that is within you and that God has placed that in you, and to not be afraid of that and to speak out and to stand forward and to stand up and to stand tall despite circumstances, because I really just felt like there is going to be some circumstances where you'll just be like, oh my goodness, I don't have the words for this. I don't have the voice, but you do have the voice. You do have the words. You do have everything, because God has placed that within you, and it's like a burning coal. It's like this alive thing that I really feel like God is saying, it's the next season. It's the new thing. It's the now. Right. Ah, goodness, well, there was always going to be a cry, so there you go. I've done it. Yes. Woo. Okay, so today I've entitled this message, it's the Now Church, and I'm kind of what you call the intermission between Romans, because we've been studying Romans, and I'm not studying Romans today. I'm the intermission. I'm the popcorn and the the chocolate bar and the, you know, and if you need to go to the bathroom, that's okay. But I've got a word. And you know, like sometimes in intermissions with like rock bands, they put someone else on stage and they perform, or they're just up and coming, or they're just doing something new. I guess sometimes they really blow you away and do great things. And I just really feel like God has got a word today. So let's get into it. If you've got your Bibles with you, or if you've got your phones, or if you're online, turn to Matthew 25, verse 31. Okay. I have been studying Matthew. So alongside Romans, I've been having a look at Matthew, and I just thought I just need to get right back into the New Testament, because I'm like an Old Testament girl. I love stories. I just absolutely thrive on the Old Testament stories. But God has really just brought me in the last few months back to the New Testament, because he just said there's so many stories in here that are for the now. And Matthew 25, 31 to 45 really just stopped me in its tracks. And I'm only going to read you probably part of this, because it's a really big passage and it gets a bit boring, but you'll get the gist of what I'm trying to say. So the sheep and the goats. When he finally arrives, blazing in beauty and all his angels with him, the Son of Man will take his place on his glorious throne. And then all the nations will be arranged before him, and he will sort the people out. As much as a shepherd sorts out sheep and goats, putting sheep to his right and goats to his left. And then the king will say to those to his right, "Enter, you who are blessed by me, my Father. Take what is coming to you in this kingdom. It's been ready for you since the world's foundation, and here's why. I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was homeless, and you gave me a room. I was shivering, and you gave me clothes. I was sick, and you stopped to visit. And I was in prison, and you came to me." And then those sheep are going to say, "Master, what are you talking about? When did we ever see you hungry and feed you, thirsty and give you a drink? And when did we ever see you sick or in prison or come to you?" And then the king will say, "I am telling the solemn truth. Whenever you did one of these things to someone overlooked or ignored, that was me. You did it to me." And I'm going to stop there. So where do we fit? Where does the church fit now in today's society? Because historically the church was this, we have been through so many seasons. We have been in the right place at the right time, helping the right people. We have been in the wrong place at the wrong time, not helping people and being the cause of misery and the cause of death and the cause of just so much heartache. But now, where does the church fit now? And that's what I've just come, I guess, when God gives me something to speak about, it's not necessarily like a sentence or just even a thing. It's just like this, just this theme that he keeps bringing up within me. And as I hit this story in Matthew, I just reflected back on my life and about what I am doing as the church. What am I doing as the church? I am a part of the church. I am a person. The church is the people. What am I doing? What am I doing now for the now church? Because a few weeks ago when I looked at that, I thought, well, I'm going to my job and I'm helping people in my job because that's what my job requires. You know, I'm even helping people sometimes in church because, you know, when it comes up, of course you want to help people. I'm helping my family because that is my job, because that's part of being in a family. But really, what am I doing? We have an opportunity to make a difference, an incredible difference. And I feel like what God really showed me is that I just got so comfortable in my middle-class life, in my doing of my everyday things, that I just fell asleep. That I was asleep in the light, as they call it. Because really, I wasn't really helping anyone. I wasn't going out of my comfort zone. I wasn't changing anything. I wasn't doing anything that was impacting anyone, really, out of what I was supposed to do. And in Matthew 10:42, it says, "This is a large work that I've called you into, but don't be overwhelmed by it. It's best to start small. Give a cool cup of water to someone who is thirsty, for instance. The smallest act of giving or receiving makes you the true apprentice. You won't lose out on a thing." Through the whole of Matthew, I've been learning that I am the equipment. I am the tool. I'm a tool. I have everything that I need. If I believe in the truth of God and I believe what he's called me to, then I just have to ask for the opportunity. I have to ask for the opportunity. And so you know what I did? I asked for the opportunity. And I'm not telling you this because I'm just, you know, someone that's done something great, because I haven't. I'm just on a journey that's learning. And I prayed and I was like, "God, could I just please have an opportunity to help someone, or just whatever you want, God?" And I was scrolling through Facebook and I saw this message, and it was just this lady asking, she needed some help, and it was in a private group, and it wasn't, nobody knew about it. And I just said, "Oh, I can help." I messaged, "I can help if you need some help." So I started to help her, and I've connected with her and I've met her a few times. And you know what? I've never been to her house. She's on the run from her, she's in a domestic violence situation. And over Christmas, before Christmas, I've been helping her, but do you know what? I don't even really know her, and I don't know if she's telling me the truth. But I'm still helping, because do you know what? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if she's telling me the truth or not. I meet her, I give her stuff, I bring what she needs, I try and help her, because do you know what? Because that is what God has called me to do. And it's not for me to judge what she's situation she's in. It's for us to be the hands and feet of Jesus. It's for us to make a difference. It's for us to just go out there and help. And when I was looking at the church and the models of the church and the way that church runs and the through history, and I guess in Matthew, when we look at what Jesus did, in the daytime he sat and he talked with the people in the church and he asked them questions and he basically was telling them, you're running church the wrong way. You're doing it wrong. He was talking to the Pharisees. You're doing it wrong. You're not doing it the right way, in his way that he said. Not in you're doing it wrong, but in some cases he did. But most of the time he just told them in stories. And then by night time, he went to houses of disreputable people and had dinner with them and had relationship and talked. And he still spoke in stories. And I just think that's so incredible that he changed the direction and the meaning of church. He changed what church was. Church was not working in the Old Testament. It was not working. And Jesus was the answer. That moment, that pivotal time in history that just changed something to make it work. Where a whole bunch of people just went, oh my goodness, I get this. I get that we have to be the church. We have to reach out to people. We have to feed the hungry. We have to clothe people that are cold. We have to have relationship. And I think the hardest thing is going into those areas when you're afraid and you don't understand. Because one of the biggest reasons people don't step forward to help or don't step forward to enter into a relationship with someone that's different than them is because it's scary. And fear stops you. And I realised that most of the time I didn't want to ask for opportunity to help someone because I was afraid of what that might bring. I was afraid that I didn't have all the answers. I was afraid that I don't know how to respond or I don't know how to deal with people that maybe are making the wrong choice in life or choices that aren't so great for them. How do you... You don't have all the answers, but it doesn't matter. And this is what God has been teaching me. It does not matter. Because we're not called to have the answers. We're called to be kind and we're called to love our neighbour. You know those old-fashioned... Who had one of those old-fashioned bulky cameras? Like, you know, in the olden days where you put the film in and you wheeled it on and you made sure it stuck and then you closed it and you couldn't let any light in and then you wound it on. Like, and then you took the picture, but then you didn't even know whether that picture was going to come out or not. And then when you finished taking your 32 roll film or your 24 roll film, then you went and you took it into the chemist to get processed. That's it. I was trying to think of the word, processed. And then after you did that, you know, what would you do if there was a deal on? You'd get 2 for 1 because you'd think there's got to be some good pictures in here that is going to, you know, 2 for 1, I'm going to get, there's going to be this picture that I'm going to love. And then that day would come where you would get it and then you'd excitedly go through all your pictures. And then you'd be like, oh my goodness, did the person who was developing these actually see these? And it'd get super embarrassing. And isn't it funny that everybody who has a phone, hold up your phone. Everybody that's online, we already know you've obviously got a phone. Yep. So, who knows that they take pictures too? So, people that love the model more than the mission will die with it. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because our mission doesn't change. We're called to go out and speak the gospel and to love our neighbour. But the mode will change. It's not always the same. We can't always have our bulky cameras and carry them around with us. Sometimes it's got to be the iPhone or the Samsung, whatever. The mode is always going to change because to change society and culture, and everything is always changing. And I think that's the thing that we get most afraid of as churches. We hold on to the mode and we forget that the mode is not the mission. The mission is the mission. And then we become redundant, and then people don't want to know because we just have the wrong mode. And I just feel like God is saying, now is the time. This is the new thing. We're getting a new mode. There's a mission has not changed. The mission is to go and love your neighbour. The mission has not changed, but the mode might be changing. And to listen out for it. Because it doesn't always come with big fanfare. Sometimes it's just a cake and a knock on the door and relationship. Sometimes it's asking if it's okay. How are you going? It's so easy to not connect because we're in a society today that disconnects. We think it's connection. You can have 1,000 friends online, but is it really connection? Gone are the days of really inviting just anyone over for lunch. I remember little old Copping Church way down in Denali that I went to kindergarten. What is it? Sunday school? You know, and after every church service, all the mums would bring the food and everyone would come for lunch and they'd stay and we'd have like these, you know, beautiful big lunches together and just fellowship, just be together, build relationship, do life with one another. And we don't do that much anymore. People don't do that in general anymore. Not even just churches, it's just not really heard of that you connect. But people are desperate for connection and we're missing this. And I don't have all the answers of how to get that connection or what to do or where to go, but I do know that God is calling us to something now, the now church. And I was listening to a podcast and a guy called Preston Sprinkle, it's a funny name, he calls it the echo chamber, that churches become like an echo chamber because they all agree with one another. So there's just this echo that goes around and there's no one that has a different point of view, which is fine. But you know what? I think it's almost like we're scared to hear someone else's point of view on life because we're afraid of what to say. We don't have the answers. We're afraid that if they say something, then it will discount something that we say. So we're too afraid to have the conversations that might stir up this interest in God. And we can only be around people that we agree with. It just actually makes for this sad, unhealthy culture. And I know that that's not what God's called us for, because I know that it's so easy to get stuck in it. And I was in this. I just felt like, oh, I can't have that conversation because I can't go there because I can't have an argument. But you don't have to have an argument. You just have to listen to someone. People just want to be heard. People just want you to listen to them, hear their story. People's stories are so incredibly interesting. And let God do the talking. Let God do the ploughing of the hearts. In Matthew 19, verse 16 to 22, it says, "Another day a man stopped Jesus and asked, 'Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life?' And Jesus said, 'Why do you question me about what is good? God is the one who is good. If you want to enter the full life of God, do just what he tells you.' And the man asked, 'What in particular?' Jesus said, 'Don't murder, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't lie, honour your father and mother, and love your neighbour as you do yourself.' And the young man said, 'I have done all that. What's left?' 'If you want to give it all you've got,' Jesus replied, 'go and sell your possessions, give everything to the poor, all your wealth will then be in heaven, then come follow me.' That was the last thing that the young man expected to hear. And so, crestfallen, he walked away. He was holding on tight to a lot of things and he couldn't bear to let go." I have always read that passage and of the rich man, and I have always thought, wow, you know, that is just, must be really hard for a rich man to let stuff go, like rich people, because I've never classed myself as that kind of a person. But when I was reading it this time, God said to me, "You are that person." if you have got clothes on your back, if you have got food in your cupboard, if you have got a little bit of money, you are that rich person. Because we all hold on to stuff. There is always something that we hold on to that we don't want to let go of. And it made me look at that and go, oh my goodness, like, I am that rich person. I need to let go and start allowing God to bring opportunity into my life to help someone, to be the real person, to live what I'm actually called to live. And I realised that I had that disconnect with my life. And I don't want it to be a disconnect with the churches today. I don't want people to look at the churches and go, how is church relevant to my life? If I'd have had enough time, I probably would have done a little survey with all of the people that I know that don't go to church, that in my sphere of influence, and just asked them, how is church relevant to your life? Because I'm pretty sure they probably would have said that it's not relevant to my life. But we have to make it relevant. We are the church. I have to make the church relevant to their life. It's my responsibility. And my first point today is the church of the old. What do I mean by that? To be the church of the new, we have to look at the church of the old. And like I said, that the Old Testament, like they were a church that no one measured up. They were in untouchable positions where you had to be extremely wise and you had to know all of the words, and they read and read and read these scrolls, and you were privileged if you've got to sat down and listen. And it was all of these people at this time in this culture could not read, most of them, and they were beholden to the church with knowledge. They did not understand unless someone stood up and told them stuff. And then Jesus came along and he changed that. He made it applicable to today because he changed it to stories. We can all connect with stories. He changed the mode of the message to be relevant to that culture. And even the disciples asked this in Matthew 13, 10 to 15. They came up and said, why do you tell stories? And he replied, you've been given insight into God's kingdom. You know how it works. Not everybody has that gift. This gift, this insight, it hasn't been given to them. Whenever someone has a ready heart for this, the insights and the understandings will flow freely. But if there's no readiness or any trace of receptivity, soon disappears. That's why I tell stories, to create readiness, to nudge the people towards a welcome awakening. In their present state, they can stare till doomsday and not see it, listen till they're blue in the face and not get it. I don't want Isaiah's forecast repeated all over again. Your ears are open, but you don't hear a thing. Your eyes are awake, but you don't see a thing. The people are stupid. They stick their fingers in their ears so they won't have to listen. They screw their eyes shut so they won't have to look, so they won't have to deal with me face to face to let me heal them. I feel like that's me sometimes. I just don't want to hear it. I don't want to see it. God, I can't deal with it right now. But we have to start allowing God to do this to us so that we can help plough and move the way for that opening for other people in the community to be relevant. We're called to bring receptive insight. I just found that amazing. I've never heard that before when I was reading it. Receptive insight. Receptive, the willingness to consider or accept new suggestions or ideas. That's what he's doing. And insight, the capacity to gain an accurate and deep understanding of someone or something. We have this power within us that has changed us. And when it shines off us, it changes other people too. I think we forget we've got this power within us. And the one thing that stops us is obedience. And there is, like, I think in the Old Testament and New Testament, 170 times it mentions obedience. That obedience is thicker than blood. The person that obeys my heavenly Father's will and my brother is my brother and sister and mother. That's in Matthew 12. I've got all of these from Matthew because Matthew's just an incredible book. And it just is amazing to me that we just have to ask for opportunity and obey God. Are we being Jesus in action in the church? Have we become middle class comfortable and asleep in the light in a building that runs programs? Or are we really helping people? Are we going out of our comfort zone and our home and going, what can I do this week that's going to help someone that I don't even know? It got to the point with me where I was praying for an opportunity and I saw this other Facebook post of a girl who lived in New Norfolk, and she said, just on the New Norfolk page, my car's broken down, I have to be at work at 7 in the morning on Monday, Tuesday and Wednesday, I need a lift in. I thought no one had answered the post and it had been like 48 hours. And I think it was like Saturday. And I thought, well, I start work at 7. I could pick her up and take her. I live in New Norfolk. So I messaged on the Facebook post, I could take you. I didn't know this girl. No idea, but I thought, God, if you want to use me. If it's just taking this girl, it doesn't matter. I'll just do it. And so I organised to meet this girl. I went up this really scary gravel road. It was like 6 in the morning, but it was dark. Like daylight savings has happened now, but it wasn't a few weeks ago. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, what am I doing? This is stupid. I'm picking this girl up and I don't even know her. She could be a serial killer. Like, she just wants to get the job done by 7 in the morning. Like, you know. And so, like, I'm driving and then I stop in front of this house where, like, Google Maps takes me, and this girl comes out of the shadows and she gets in the car, and I'm sure she was thinking the same thing as me. Except that I think she thought I was a bit weird because I'd messaged her and I said, do you want a coffee? Like, I'll make a coffee. I've got 2 travel cups. And she's like, I'd love a coffee. And so she's like, you're not only picking me up and taking me to work, but you've made me a coffee. And I'm like, no, but I was just making a coffee. It's okay. But I just got talking to this girl and I was just thinking, you know, I can do this. This is not hard. This is not hard. And I did not know this girl. And do you know how incredible God is? I said to her, oh, I'm taking you to town. I hadn't even asked her, like, where do you want me to drop you somewhere? Where do you work? And she said, oh, actually, I've just started a job at Bargain Car Rentals. Now, Bargain Car Rentals, my brother-in-law owns and my sister owns. Out of all the businesses in the whole of Hobart, she's going to a business and working at a place that my sister owns. God incidents much? And it was pretty amazing because I said to the girl, my brother-in-law owns that and my sister. Like, she's like, what? I think she was more shocked than anything. And I was like, wow, God, like, you are incredible. You are really amazing. The opportunity that, a few weeks ago I would never have even taken. And I know that I just prayed and, you know, the opportunity didn't come up to talk about God, but it doesn't matter. I just feel like sometimes you just need to be the next brick in the wall because someone else is going to come and stand up on that opportunity and go, oh, yeah. Because as soon as she got to work, she said, went straight to the boss and went, oh, blah, 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 blah. And I just feel like the opportunities will come, but you've just got to allow it to be natural and allow it to be real and allow it to be without agenda. Because the biggest killer of stuff like that is to have an agenda. The mission isn't really a mission if you have an agenda, if you understand what I'm talking about. Because people feel like, and I've been in that spot where I thought someone was being really genuine and then I realised they just wanted me to go to their church. And it's not cool. It's not cool. Real relationship, genuine relationship is where it's at. And my second point today is kindness doesn't mean endorsement. This is the biggest thing for me. Kindness doesn't mean endorsement. What do I mean by that? Being kind doesn't mean that you say what you're doing is okay, because I think that sometimes we feel like if we're kind to people that are maybe doing the wrong thing, then we're okaying what they do. If that was the case, plenty of people would still not be married, because there is plenty of times where I haven't agreed with my husband, but I still love him and I'm still kind to him. Most of the time. But if you understand what I mean, you don't have to agree with someone all the time to be kind. COVID makes your mouth really dry, I'll just tell you that. I have had COVID in the last few weeks. And, it's not nice. So I'm really with everybody out there that is struggling with COVID right now. I just want to tell you that you will get over it, and we just pray healing right now in Jesus' name, and we just ask that, God, you stop this virus and that you stop it in its tracks and that it won't affect people and that it will just be a nothing. We just break its power in Jesus' name. It doesn't hurt to be kind. And some of the, it's just amazing actually, some of the rudest people I've ever met have come from church. Probably not our church, because our church is amazing. But over the years, over the many years that I've been in church, there have been some really, really rude people. And it doesn't matter where you go, it doesn't matter whether you're in the world, but people can be still rude. And when you think about how you became to have a relationship with God, was it because he told you off or because someone came up to you and said you were doing something wrong? Did that make you feel like you wanted to become closer to God? Because that wouldn't make me want to do that. And if I believe that God is a good, good God and God is a kind God, then that is not how he draws people in, and that's not how he drew me back in. Kindness, it doesn't hurt to be kind. It actually opens a way where there is no way. And historically, we're not great at being kind. And the church needs to, I guess, in a way, make up for the mistakes we've made in the past by being double portion of kindness and real and no agenda. Kindness is the ability to listen, and we mustn't shut out the hearing because we're scared of what people will say or we're scared that we don't have the answer. We need to be well read in things that society is tackling right now. We need to be the ones that are the most read up about it, the most know how to deal with it. We need to be right in there in the LGBTQ, whatever they're called, community. We need to be in there. We need to be the answer. We need to be friends. We need to not be afraid because we don't know the answer. Because maybe we're scared of what we might say and if we say something wrong. It's just like saying the wrong thing when someone's passed away, and you know, people would rather avoid the situation than to go in and even give people a hug because they're too scared that they might stuff it up. And I feel like God is saying now is the time where you've got to just step forward and stop being afraid of having a voice, because we can be kind, we can be nice, we can be loving, we can love our neighbour, we can just be real, because that's what we're called to be. It's leading people higher. It's thinking on a different level. We don't need to agree. God convicts. I do believe that it's so hard sometimes to stand out of the seat of judgment, because when it, you know, judging is just so fun sometimes, isn't it? We all like to have an opinion on something, don't we? Everybody loves to have an opinion, so it's really hard to not have an opinion on something. But now is the time to not have that opinion. Or if you do, push it aside and go, it's because I'm uneducated. It's because I don't know. I need to educate myself. I need to get a greater understanding of this situation. I need to become a person that can help people and not make the mistake of being ignorant. Because I feel like that's what I've done sometimes, because I haven't understood and I haven't been willing to understand, because fear is the greatest crippler of moving forward. My point, my third point today is leading as a church. And that is that God-driven responses rather than fear-driven responses. We can't choose situations all the time. We can pray for opportunity. And we can choose responses. We can choose how we respond. We can choose to respond to the opportunity that God's given us. Loving our neighbours without agenda. Having a healthy, open, honest environment in church. These questions don't go away. They won't go away. You know what people will do? People will just go to other communities to ask the same questions and get the same acceptance. And that's what's happened in some cases, is that people have had these questions and they've been too afraid to ask them, or if they have asked them, we've not answered them. We've just been too afraid, or maybe we've said the wrong thing, and that, we're always going to not say the right thing. But people will go somewhere else or Google or do whatever, but they will try and find the answers. I've learning this with a teenager. Having a teenager in the house, it's like they have questions, and either you get in first and answer the questions, otherwise they'll just go and ask their peers anyway, or they'll go and ask someone else, because, and then they may get an answer that you don't want them to have. And usually the first answer to a question that a teenager has is the one that they go with, is the truth that's in their life. they actually just, it's almost like they want to know an answer to a question, they go and ask it, and whatever gets in first imprints on their heart as the truth. And I felt, wow, that is so, like, I want to get in there, I'm answering all those questions, to the point where my teenager's like, Mum, just go away. I didn't ask that question, I don't want to know. I'm just making sure you know the answer. We have to be equipped. We have to be equipped. Those are the conversations church should be navigating, because church is set up to bring people into a wholeness as a part of the body. We are a part of the church. We are the church. We are a body. We're all on this journey of wholeness together. And I find that so incredible that you accept me who I am and I accept you who you are. We're all on a journey of wholeness. And I love that the mode that Jesus brought, he brought it with stories. He brought it with stories that people could remember back in those, in that culture, in that time. I still think stories are the best way to bring the message now, because if I don't bring stories, you don't necessarily remember all of the texts that I'm reading, even though the texts are mostly stories. Stories in everyday life is something that people go, oh yeah, I could connect to that because I had that moment happen in my life, just a different way. So I guess I just want to leave with this. Has anyone watched The Castle, the iconic Australian film? Yeah. I don't know what it's rated, and it does have a little bit of swearing in, so I'm not condoning that, but the whole gist of the movie is that it's the vibe of the thing, that a man was having his house taken off him, and he was trying to explain that his house was not just a house. His house was his castle. It was his home. A house is a man's home, like that his family was there, that's where his memories were. And I guess that's the way that I feel like the Holy Spirit, in a sense, is, it's the vibe of the thing. There's something in it. There's a house that God has made inside of you that Jesus brought, the Holy Spirit, to come and live inside of you, and it changes something. Your house inside of you is now a castle. You are there to bring the good news to the people. If the team want to come back up. It's just so important. The Holy Spirit is there to testify to the glory of the Son and make his name known. And we are talking about the only one man that has ever been on earth that has had the power to break sin and death and give us life. The only Son of God. That through Jesus we can find forgiveness of sin, freedom, truth, joy and peace. At the end of the day, the primary job of the Holy Spirit is not to impress with signs and wonders or give us emotional experiences. All of that does come. And I have seen so many moments and had so many moments with God and I've seen so many miracles that God has done. But it's not the point. The point is that he saved us. The point is that we have this good news inside of us, that we don't not grasp hold of the mission that he's called us for, but we just adjust our mode of how it gets there, that we be real to people. It's at the end of the day that the Holy Spirit will open our eyes and show us, so that we stop chasing after the empty things that hoping to fill us, that we can't let go of like the rich man, trusting in things that will not bring reconciliation, forgiveness, or relationship with him. Only those things can be met through Jesus. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind which must be saved. And that's Acts 4:12. And I just want to pray today for those of you maybe online that you've never even known this Jesus that I'm talking about. And maybe there's people in the congregation today or in the congregation online that you do know the Jesus that I'm talking about, but you feel like you've fallen asleep in the light, or you just haven't given everything up, or you've not given 100%. There is a time in my life where I was so frustrated with God because I couldn't make it all work, but I hadn't given my life 100%, like 100%. Like I'd given 98, but I knew that there was this stuff I was holding back. And it wasn't until that moment where I just, walking along a beach, went, God, I just give you 100% of my life and we'll just see how it goes. because I've never done that before. And that was the turning point for me. That changed my life. And God is here to change your life today. He is here to change our life. He is here to make the church for the now. The church for the now, not the church of the past, not the mistakes that we've made, but us as people, we are the church. And it is our chance to stand up and be those people, be the one that God is calling us to be. Not be afraid to be kind, not be afraid to love our neighbour, not be afraid to go into the awkward situations and the awkward silences and just sometimes just being the listening ear. So I'm going to pray today for those people that don't know Jesus. If everyone just wants to close their eyes, Jesus, we just pray for those people right now that you would open their hearts, that they would hear like never before, that they would see like they've never seen before, that they would know like they've never known before. We just ask that you would just enter into their heart now in Jesus' name and that they can start relationship with you, God. We pray that in your name, Jesus. Amen. And if you have never done that before, please private message online your church, because we would love to know about it. We would love to give you a Bible. We would love to talk to you. We want relationship with you. Are we the church of the old or the church of the now? Are we consciously practicing kindness? Because I, for one, want to be at the forefront of leading this next generation, this next coming years. I want to be at the forefront of whatever God is doing, however he's moving in this season. Because it's not how we thought. It's not going to be how you thought. And we can't be scared of that. We have to stand up. I'm excited. I'm excited. I just want to pray right now, God, that you would take this church, us as people, that we would be real, that we would be genuine, that we would go out of our way to love our neighbour, God. That we would go out of our way to be kind, that we would go out of our way to be the new church, the church of the now, God, the church that makes a difference, God, the church that is real without agenda, God, the church that is not just pushing your message, but is bringing your message with love and kindness and grace and truth, God. And the incredible thing, God, we just pray that you would bring about miracles where we would see people's eyes open, people's ears hear, people's hearts know that you are the one true God. I feel, Lord Jesus, that time is running out, God, and I just pray that you would just give us the moments, give us the opportunities, give us the truth, God, give us the words, double portion, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.